Okay, we're going to get started, so sometime when somebody else has something to say, they'll have it to say, praise the Lord. And we are free here, praise the Lord. And I think that as we listen to what the Lord shares with us about wineskins and faith in God and God being faithful and free to dance and free to pray for those who have needs and believe that those needs will be met, and realizing that when God calls us to something, He enables us, and taking our positions and all of that, I think just is a pretty grand confirmation of what God wants to talk to us about as far as love dominates. And I'm convinced that the word that my nephew had from the Lord is, more and more I'm convinced that it's truer and truer, and obviously it is, that this looking into loving God is a bottomless pit. Not a bad bottomless pit, but it's so deep. The importance of our loving God. Just some review thoughts. And that is that the only thing that God can't make is you love Him. He can't make you love Him. He does plenty to deserve our love, but He won't make us love Him. The fact that no matter how much God loves us, that in itself will not keep us. It's our love for God that will keep us and that will strengthen us. It's our love for God that will keep us trusting. It's our love for God that will bring us into a willing obedience. We don't have to obey God. We need to get over the idea that we have to obey God. We don't have to. Years and years ago, God gave us a message, said you don't have to, but you can. All of the things of God, you don't have to accept healing, you don't have to accept deliverance, you don't have to accept salvation. God won't make anybody do anything, but He offers it. And we know that He so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. He loved the world that much, but that wouldn't save the world. Christ Jesus came into the world not to condemn the world, but to save the world. But it would appear that not everybody accepts that. And so to understand the importance of our love for God and what it does to us, what it does through us, what it does for us. You see, loving is something that we really do like to do. There is inside of us a desire to love. Now, a lot of times our love thing gets all messed up. Sometimes people get hurt and they don't love for a long, long time. They don't give themselves to love, or they don't feel free to love. It gets messed up. You know, and there's a lot of different things in the natural world that tries to help people with that, you know. But there's only one thing that really activates pure love, the love that God put in us, and that is God Himself. Once we receive His love, it enables us then to go ahead and develop love. And the most important love that we can develop is that love for God. On Wednesday, we talked about how love harvests. Because we had talked previously about love praying and about how God enjoys prayer time. We don't come to Him because He's going, they better pray. We come because this will make God happy. It makes God feel good. Remember, it's the chooser choosing the chosen. Or the chosen choosing the chooser. Because He first chose us, now we choose Him, and now we choose to love Him, we choose to go to Him. So we are the chosen choosing the one who chose us. We're agreeing with His plan. God likes it when you agree with Him. Now, love helps you be agreeable. But the fact of the matter is that I was thinking about this, you know, no matter how much I love my wife, my love for her will not correct my thinking. If I decide to begin to think unloving thoughts about my wife, my love for her won't override that. Because I'll just go ahead and think any direction that I want to. Now, maybe I will have enough self-control not to say it, but my thoughts can keep going. But I discovered something. My love for God won't allow that. If I consider my love for God will dominate my thinking. Because my love for God will cause me to consider God's thinking. And when I consider God's thinking, I'm not going to be able to go ahead and do that thinking. Now, you would think, well, if you love your wife, you should be able to correct that just for that love. Well, over time, I might. But I have discovered that my love for God will correct it just that quickly. And so, if I will consider my love for God, if I will keep that at the forefront of my mind, that love for God will dominate my thoughts. Now, we know that the Bible tells us that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against demonic things. Thoughts that come that do not glorify God are not from God. And some of those thoughts come from us ourselves. So sometimes we have to dominate ourselves, and we always have to dominate that thinking that the enemy tries to put into us. And so the battle for our souls is in our minds. That's where the biggest battle is. Because if we can grasp what Vicki said about shaking off those distractions, we'll dominate those thoughts, we'll move them off, whatever it is that God is required to give us, so that we in turn will do what God wants. If it's a picture of a snake, which gave her a real clear picture, shake them off. Get rid of them. Then we don't entertain those things, because let's be honest, in our flesh, sometimes thoughts that we know are not right, we sort of enjoy entertaining. We get to feeling like we have a right to think these things for a while. But if we do that, what does it produce in our lives? Does it make us happy? No. Does it make us feel good? Not really. But as long as we're willing to entertainment, then we have the enemy saying, you'll just feel better if you stay mad for a while. Just go ahead, get all those thoughts flushed up. You got a right to think that way. But no, we don't. Not if we will allow the love for God to rule our hearts and our minds. Love will dominate. Well, if we can dominate that part of things, think of how we can dominate in other areas. Okay, in the psalm that we're looking at today, in Psalm 8, it says, when I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, verse 3, the moon and the stars which you have ordained, what is my man that you are mindful of him, the son of man that you visit him? When Mary talked about how she didn't want to do that and she didn't feel adequate. You see, what makes us feel inadequate is when we don't consider the works of God's hands. When we don't consider, God says our gifts will exalt us, and so it was Mary's gift that got her the position. Consequently, if we get a position from God, God gives us a position wherein we can then exalt Him with how He has exalted us. But we have to take dominion, or we have to dominate those thoughts of inadequacy. We have to dominate those thoughts that say, you can't do this. We have to dominate these thoughts that say, you're not able. We dominate. We take dominion over those things, and we insert what God says. And we can do that because we love God enough to trust Him. Would you agree that the depth of your feeling for someone has a direct correlation to how much you trust them? You don't put your life in the hands of someone you don't care too much for. Now, it could possibly be that if you were on the top of a building and the building is burning, that you would fall instantly in love with the rescue pilot. I guarantee you that you would. Now, it may not be a long-lasting love, but for that moment, they are the best person you've ever seen. Even when you see these things, we don't have a lot of this happen because we don't have big buildings people jump out of, but you see in the big cities the fire rescue, and they got this big thing they hold down for people to jump out into, It takes a while for some people to decide that they're going to, some of them have to have their jeans smoking before they'll jump. They're not sure they want to trust those people, but they overcome one thing in order to do a better thing. Well, you see, the love for God will enable you to take dominion in your life and of things in your life and apply spiritual sense. Now, we all have heard that love is blind statement, right? And we all have seen perhaps someone else, because you can always see it better in someone else, when somebody else is just in love and they aren't even making sense. But we all ourselves, because of either love or what we thought was love or whatever the case might be, found ourselves in a position where we said, I don't know what I was thinking, don't know what I was doing, And consequently, we can sometimes go against what makes good sense, even in the natural. Okay. So then, if we will look at how in the supernatural, as we begin to understand what loving God does for us, how, the Bible says that think on those things that are right and just and lovely and pure and of good report and worthy of praise. When we will allow our love for God to cause us to reboot, so to speak. For the last 2 days, I have been rebooting because I picked up a little thing that's a nuisance. It's not a virus, but it's called XP2008 on my computer. And it came up on the computer, and it's a nuisance. And you reboot and reboot, and then finally you reboot in safe mode, and then you go in and do some things that scare me to death with the registry to try to remove these things. But I thought about this and I thought, loving God can kind of reboot your life in safe mode. Because when you're in safe mode, if I understand it right, only certain programs are running. And so that keeps the bad thing from running that's causing a problem so that you can actually work with the computer. Now, I am not a computer technician, but I have a daughter-in-law who is, and a son who is, and my daughter-in-law walked me through the registry thing. I didn't tell her that I had already begun waiting for her call back. I wasn't about to delete anything, but I was opening these things and getting to the right place. Well, we found the right things. She always had me double check. She always said, now make sure, just that one, make sure where you are. And they said, okay, go ahead and delete it. And when we got all done, she said, okay, now close that and don't ever do it again without expert help. because she knows only too well that messing with the registry could have left me with nothing if I did it wrong. And so, but it was in safe mode. And loving God puts us into a safe mode, because love for God shuts down all unnecessary programs. Love for God can just cause us to it causes the other things not to be able to run and causes grief. It's like, yes, shaking them off, getting to that place where then my focus is on God. I won't quit until I'm comfortable in all of these things that are going on. So that then, if we will take the time to step into that safe mode of loving God, focusing on God, now then we can come out of that and everything will then ideally be running right. Now, when I came out of that, and it wasn't just perfect, I didn't just say, oh well. I went and worked on something else because I wanted it to be right. So if you come out of safe mode, if you come out of that place and you still don't have things corrected, go back in to focusing on your love for God. Because remember, God's love for you will not accomplish the will of God in your life. It's your love for God that is going to accomplish that. Okay, now, your love for God will then put you in the place where you trust God. When you trust God, now you believe what He says. When you believe what He says, then you believe that it says you have made Him to have dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under His feet. That makes you one whom God has made to have dominion. Our mind might agree, yes, God has given us dominion. But if our spirit doesn't grasp that, then it's just head knowledge. Then we pray, but we don't necessarily expect. Remember, Jesus, it says, now that the world may know that I love Him, as He commands, so I do. Because He loved God, He was able to rid Himself of the common sense idea of getting on that cross. What could it really help? You think about that. Now, yes, He was the Son of God, but He was Son of Man as well. And the plan was for Him to get on a cross, sacrifice His life, be raised from the dead, and ascend into heaven. That doesn't work out in the natural mind. If you don't believe me on that, just go find somebody who does not believe in God, and they will tell you how foolish that sounds, how impossible that sounds. In fact, all those facts were never that important to any of us until we came to seek and to know the Lord. And then, by faith, we accepted that truth. And when we first determined to accept it, we had no idea what we were receiving. We only had a hope that it was going to work. Maybe we received it because, well, we've always been around people, we've always gone to church, and so we're just going to believe it. Or maybe we were at the end of our rope and just didn't know what else we were going to do, and so we thought, we'll give it a try. When I received Christ, I don't know what I was thinking. I wasn't thinking anything. But man, like a flood, he came in, knocked things out of the way, and opened a door where I could love him or not. And suddenly those things that didn't make a lot of sense were the only things that did make sense. And when God transforms your life, it makes even more sense because nothing else will do that. When we allow the Word of God to transform our lives, we find out nothing else will do that. People spend, I don't know how many billions of dollars our country spends every year paying people to try to help them to find some peace, and it doesn't work. It just keeps them coming back and coming back and coming back and coming back. But the Lord, whom the Lord sets free, is free indeed. Now that when we get into that place, and now we begin to understand, now it's up to me to love Him. You see, it's like what Sue said. This is sort of new wine, okay? We know the Bible says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. But I have to tell you that every now and then, and I don't talk a lot about this outside of here, because any time that I do, and sometimes even here, I get these blank looks. And it's just because it's got to get in and it's got to get its place. When I first said to someone, you know, it doesn't matter how much God loves you, it's your love for Him that's going to complete the circuit. It was like, what's the matter with you? Well, yesterday a guy stopped by that I've known for quite some time, and he's kind of a Bible student sort of a guy, and we're visiting and this and that and the other thing, and he said something, and I just up and said, you know, it really doesn't matter how much God loves you. If you don't love Him, none of it's going to work. He looked at me, kind of got a tear in his eye. He said, that makes perfect sense. I've always thought about that God's love requires nothing because He just loves us. But he said, you know what? His love requires that we love Him. When I first said it, I thought that perhaps we were in for a long afternoon. But the thing is that these things come, and if we've got on a wineskin that is soft and supple, if we're hungry, if we put on garments of praise, if we put on a determination, I want whatever God has for me, then those things aren't going to bust our skins. They're going to cause us to consider these things. And I have to tell you that loving God is beginning to consume my sleep time, my walking time, my running time, my anything time, because I'm getting understanding that the whole thing works. The more I love God, the more it all works. When you love someone, remember, you expect the best, even when they do the worst. Now, if you find yourself not thinking good about someone that you normally think good about, you better check, you probably don't love them much anymore. When love begins to fail, then all the other stuff can come in. This is what can happen to you in relationships, friendships, marriages. You know, if I just let myself consider life without my wife, and if I don't think that's a bad thought, I can imagine ways for her to be gone. Just that quickly, the enemy can come in. But if I say, wait a minute, it ain't going to work, I love her, I'll have a little bit of an advantage. Okay? But if I turn that one more notch up and I say, God, I love you too much to entertain thoughts like that. Now, I have got someone involved in the fight with me, and I ain't gonna lose. Because let's face it, sometimes the people that we are closest to, we aren't so much in love with for a moment or two, once in a while. You know? Now, if you can't admit that, or if you don't have to admit that because you just never have experienced that, then God bless you. Write a book. There's people that need to learn about that. But if you can be honest and say, you know, yeah, I have some not so grand thoughts about that, you know. This week, one of my daughters probably didn't love me momentarily once in a while because I just didn't understand. But that's okay. I understand a lot more than people think. But the fact of the matter is that if I will maintain love, we know it works in the natural. So now turn it into the supernatural and think about how much more that empowers everything else in your life if you will let your love for God be the dominant thought, have the dominant opinion, have the final say in all things. Now, I love God, and God says by His stripes I'm healed. So it doesn't matter what it looks like. It doesn't matter what it feels like. What God says, now because I love Him, that dominates my thinking. This last week, in visiting with this about this with my nephew, the Lord had he had when I was talking about love harvesting, and I got done talking about that, and he said, you know, my first thought is, what am I doing wrong? Now his first thought about what he was doing wrong was based on one thing. The only harvest he really is focused on is the healing of his son. And remember when God gave us that word in church and He said He had a special treasure, but not to let the one that we wanted most or that we were focused on most keep us from seeing all of the others? Well, immediately after He said that, I said, oh, I think you've got lots of things. Well, and then He started listing them. He had all these things, but He said, you know, He just still wondered. Well, we got all done talking and we were off the phone and I was walking. All of a sudden this question came to me. God said, ask Him what He'd be doing different if the healing had taken place. Well, I knew what God meant, but I didn't explain that to Him. I just simply said, I think the Lord wants me to ask you this. What would you be doing different? Well, I got a letter back from Him and He said, well, when I first read that, I thought, everything. We'd do everything different, from getting babysitters to how we could go here and how we could go there and what we could do. I mean, everything would be different. And He said, and then I thought, I don't think that's what God's talking about. He said, so then He considered spiritually, what would He be doing different? And He felt like He could honestly say that He wouldn't be doing anything differently. He would still be praising, still be expecting, He'd still be everything there. And he realized, then he and God were able to settle a couple of other things, and he just realized that, number one, he didn't need to feel condemned. He didn't need to allow the enemy to come in and say, well, you just don't have enough faith, because he knew that he was doing everything and it wasn't going to change anything, except it would be a physical miracle. And remember what we've talked about, miracles will cease. Once a miracle's done, it's done. Once a prayer is answered, it's answered. Oh, we might think back on it once in a while and think that was really swell, you know. But it's not nearly as much in the forefront of our mind after it takes place as it was before it took place, right? You know? How many times have you not felt well, prayed to feel better, woke up the next day, felt better, went on with your day? Now, if we were real sick, we might remember to say, boy, it feels good to feel good. But most of all, once it's over, it's over. But love for God never fails. And as we get that, as we realize that, as we nurture that, you know? And you know something? When it changes the way that God is viewed as well. Because you see, the world has had this view of God out to get them. You know, we don't know why God's doing these things. I hear Christians say, well, I guess God's teaching them a lesson. I'll be happy to err on the side of mercy. But I have told God this. I said, God, if these people are right and you're doing this stuff, okay, so tell me when I get there. But for right now, I refuse to give you bad press. I refuse to declare you to be mean and ugly and nasty. I just refuse that. You don't do that kind of stuff. If I'm wrong, tell me. But I don't want to hear it, you know? I only want to hear good things about God because I only think good things about God. When you love someone, you think good things about them. If you're thinking bad things about them, do you love them? How can you love God if you're thinking bad things about Him? I love you. Well, I gotta love you because if I don't, you'll smack me. Hello? You know? That isn't going to work, is it? But as I allow myself to realize God just receives my love. And guess what? You love Him perfectly. Remember, you love Him the way nobody else can love Him. So maybe you have an idiosyncrasy in your love for God. You know, maybe you've got a pet name, a loving name. Maybe you just call God sweetheart, and some people would think, you call God sweetheart? Well, just be careful. Don't tell everybody that if you do that, okay? You know? Because not everybody's got skin that'll stretch around that. But your relationship with God is unique. And it's worth developing. And as you love Him, your doubts disappear. Your confidence increases. Your trust increases. When you're trusting, you're dominating. Love will dominate. Love will dominate sickness. Love will dominate lack. Love will dominate all of those things. Because it's a foundation that can't be shaken. It's a foundation. Love stands. When it's done everything to stand, it stands. And we'll never be disappointed. The Bible says God will never disappoint us, so we don't have to worry about that. You know, that sometimes keeps people from loving because they're afraid they might be disappointed. They're afraid that it won't go the way they want to. And we should be cautious. Young people, old people, any people should be careful. And the Bible tells us to guard our hearts. Don't just give away. But to God, you can give it away. To God, you can commit it all. To God, you can throw caution to the wind because He'll never fail you. And from that position in God, you will find yourself dominating. Because if you can dominate your thoughts with the Word of God, then you can dominate circumstances. You can dominate lies. You can take dominion over all things. Because you will have put everything else in its place, and now you will apply God's ways, God's word, God's promises. And it has to do with God's love for you, obviously, because He made it available to you. But it's activated by your love for God. You are the one. You're the one who put your salvation into motion. You're the one that puts the rest into motion. Love dominates. Let your heart and your thoughts be dominated by love for God. And out of that, you will dominate in life. And I'm telling you that He gave dominion, it says in the Psalm, so that people would see His greatness. That's why He gave that. So that you could reveal His greatness. God's greatness takes someone who sees herself as inadequate and puts her in a position to instruct those who previously she may have felt were above her. Paul told Timothy, don't let anybody despise your youth. We sometimes may not feel like we are in a great position. But if God puts us in the position, the anointing breaks the yoke. The anointing puts you through. And love for God will cause you to trust in the anointing. God chose you and He anointed you that you might go out and produce fruit. The fruit in the kingdom of God is dominion in the kingdom of God. Love dominates. And just one more seed that absolutely is out there, but God says to share this with you, because this was something the man shared with me. We're all familiar with the parable of the virgins, right? With the five that were wise and the five that were foolish. But he pointed out someone in that parable that I hadn't given a lot of thought to, probably given no thought to. There was someone who came and announced that the bridegroom was coming. There was somebody outside who was making the announcement. I believe that people who are walking in the fullness of God, in the love of God, hungering for God, and perhaps, probably, just maybe, probably, the people who are developing their deep love for God and allowing it to dominate in their lives, we are the people who are announcing His coming. We are then able to announce His healing. We are then able to announce, you know, so many times, and it's a Christian thing. So many times Christians are announcing, oh, the Lord must be coming. You know, it's this, that, and the other thing. And I said to someone last night, I just typed him a little email and I said, He's already here. And their response was, well, I haven't been taken up yet. And I responded, but He's here. And they responded, well, whatever. I responded, He's here. Amen, was the response. You see, we don't want to be caught up in the catching up. Let's get caught up in keeping up with what God has for us in the kingdom of God. Amen. Diane had a word for us. Maybe she has another one today, but she had a word for us that talked about like His mercies are new every morning. I'm doing new things for you, putting you in a new place. God told Joshua, I'm taking you by way that you've never been before. I'm telling you that you are given the opportunity to be one announcing the coming of God into every circumstance around your life. Amen? Announcing healing for Wyatt's shoulder. I saw a man give a testimony on I don't know, one of the shows one day about something that he had damaged his shoulder and he couldn't even lift his arm, and he was sitting there and the pain was driving him crazy, and he was just saying, oh, God, he was doing one of these prayers. If you can do anything, do something. And he turned on the TV and all of a sudden somebody was saying, there's pain in your right shoulder and God's healing it right now. Do something that you've never done before. He did it. He just started shouting. Glory to God, he got healed. You can announce. Isn't that good? I always thought I wanted to be one of the five wise virgins. No. I want to be one outside that's announcing, that's watching, that's ready. Okay, Father, in the name of Jesus, I'm going to allow my love for You to dominate my desire to just keep on, because I just love Your Word and love it as You flow into our lives. And I thank You, Lord, that today You have offered us all wineskins that will hold anything. They are just ones that are intended to just grow and expand and receive. I thank You, Lord, for the revelation that You've given in different ways, Lord, for the freedom and dance and just revelation of our place in the kingdom. And God, we just thank You that You are faithful. And I pray, God, that love for You would just swell up and well up in us. Just almost an uncontrollable love for You, Father. I know that if we will allow this to work in our lives, that we will dominate like never before. In Jesus' name, amen.